you, Lord, for your presence. There's something in the air. I can't put my finger on it, but I think that the presence of God is here.
Hallelujah.
The presence of God is here, Lord. We welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your ways in us. Have your ways, Lord. We just worship you. We really honor you, Lord. Do what you want with us this morning. Amen. Right, we started a new series on worship, and worship as a general thing, just the act of singing. Okay, this is the new series, and this morning I'm starting by looking at David and his desire for God's presence above anything else. In Psalm 27, verse 7, he writes a song. Okay. Which is, I'll just put it on this here. And the song goes, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to see him in his temple." And in these verses, you can see the heart of David, right? One is focused, one thing. This is my one thing. His heart is aching to be in the presence of God all his days, every single day. And it's a focus on his life, and so much so that we know that later on in his life, he will ask God to be the one who builds the physical temple. Do you remember that? And the story goes that Solomon did, because actually David was a man of war. But he was his all focus, all his life, to be in the presence of God. Now, have you ever been in the presence of God, or have one moment with him, when you feel the thickness of this glory come? I don't know if you ever experienced that, but you can experience that. It's for everybody. In this moment, you feel the tangible presence of God. An incredible sense of awe and peace in a way that honestly you just cannot move on. You're there in his presence and you stay and you're thinking, "Wow, I need to breathe this in. I need to take in the moment. All that matters right now is I am in communion with the Lord of the universe." This deep sense of whoa,
amen.
I'm aware of his presence. It's like his face is pressing against your face.
Yes.
And you could feel his embrace, you know. When you're in those moments, I think it's so easy to sing, "You are worthy of it all."
Hallelujah.
It's easy because you are face to face with him. You know, you get a glimpse, a revelation of who he is, and everything else disappear. You suddenly have this conscious moment when you're thinking, whoa, this is the one thing. This is the one thing. It's at that moment, you know, you're conscious that you want to spend all the day of your life gazing on his beauty. You know, an encounter with God is like that. It brings you such a sharp revelation of what really, really matters. What really matters. Personally, that's why I love worship so much as an act of devotion. Because I think nothing changes you as much as being face to face with God. Nothing like it. There's nothing like this. This moment where you touch his presence, whether small, whether big, whether you read in the Bible something and then suddenly you go, "Whoa, you are speaking to me." This moment, you catch up. Basically, it's like you're catching the whole reason why you were born.
Amen.
Because you know what? We were created to worshiping and to be in relationship with him. At that moment, then you know, whoa, this is what I was born for. This is what I was born for. I was born to be with him.
Hallelujah.
I was born to be satisfied by him, the creator of the universe. I don't know you, but naturally, I'm not a person who is satisfied easily. Can you recognize yourself in that? Yes, yeah. You know, in life, we want a little bit more of this, a little bit more. Oh God, it would be so good if I could have a holiday. Oh God, it would be so good if this and this and this. Yes? We're looking for this little thing in life. Say, oh, I will be happy when I will meet my Prince Charming. I will be happy when I will have my new job. I will be, you know, naturally as human, we're like that. But when we meet God face to face, you suddenly realize, wow, only Him can satisfy our souls. Only Him can satisfy our souls. When we in His presence, it's like that gap is filled, completely filled. And you know, and you know, and you know, then you know that He is that one thing. He is that one thing. Listen, David was not perfect. Who knows David was not perfect? Yes, you know David was not perfect. Clearly, he had his moment. Like that one time where he was supposed to be at war, but instead, I would say his gaze wandered on something else than the Lord's beauty. Do you remember that episode? When basically he's supposed to be at war, and what he does is look, you know, around and he sees Bathsheba bathing, and we know that, and it's sin, and really, there's serious consequence. He had to really repent from his heart, say, "Wow, Lord, what have I done?" Yeah? He's not a perfect man. He's not a perfect man by all. But what fascinated me about David is, despite all his flaws, the scripture says he was a man according to God's own heart. Would you not want to be a man according to God's own heart? Well, that's a really incredible thing to be, you know, spoken about. Did you imagine, you know, one day we say, oh, yes, I knew this person. He was a person according to God's own heart. Because do you know what? He had a relentless pursuit of God's presence. And to love God was what is one thing, is one thing. You know, this testimony of David and what he went through, that changed my life. That literally changed my life. I remember being a student at university, right? In my little room, and I had just room for a guitar under my bed. That's literally all I had room for. But with that guitar, I actually wrote a song about David, and as a prayer for my own life. And that was going, I want to have David's heart, a heart that knows how to honor your name, seek your face, and always call upon your grace. And I wrote this as a prayer to my life. Lord, be my one thing. Be my one thing. You see, this is our call for all of us now. Because as Christians, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have full access to God. Okay, there's no obstacle. Hebrews say we can, with confidence, access the throne of grace. It's not reserved to the few. You know, in the Old Testament, you had the anointed people, and you had the priest. You had the few who had access to God. But in the New Testament, because of Jesus, we have this privilege of direct access to God, so much so that God makes His dwelling place in us.
Amen.
In us. So now we can fully not only say, well, my one thing is you, but we know we have His presence. We don't even need to go to the temple. David needs to, I want to dwell in the temple. But you are the temple. You know what I'm saying? So it's for all of us, this experience.
Hallelujah.
Every day we can come and say, whoa, you are my one thing. You are my one thing. And we can experience the presence of God in that way. And gaze upon His beauty. And that will change you. That will change you. Okay? So you see, worship is our first primary calling. Mm. Before you do anything else, your devotion to God, coming at His feet, and having this communion with you, it's the one thing that we need to go after.
Amen.
Not only that's the one thing will satisfy you fully, but as well it will be your launch pad for other things.
Yes.
Because everything comes from Him, everything is for Him, and everything is achieved through Him.
Hallelujah.
So yes, we want the blessing. Yes, we want the fruit, etc. But that's a launch pad. That's the first thing is my devotion to you. My devotion to you.
Amen.
My devotion to you. Okay? He is our one thing. He is the one thing for everything.
Mm.
Colossians 1. It will change. Here we go. Colossians 1, 16 says that for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through Him.
That's right.
And for Him.
Beautiful.
It is the one thing from the beginning of creation to the end of ages.
Amen.
It is the one thing. I would like to look at a difficult passage now, which is in Revelation 4 and 5. Those are the chapter. And Revelation 4 and 5 gives us a picture of how magnificent is Jesus seated in heaven. So John has his vision, okay? And, you know, there's a lot of symbolism, right? It's not that, I don't know how it will look like when we're going to go and see Jesus, right? But there is symbolism on Revelation. Okay, so God is seated in His throne in the heavenly place, and we can see here His awesome power and presence and how He is worthy to be worshipped, and we see a sense of how worship goes into the heavenlies. Okay, and some artists have tried to capture Revelation 4 and 5, and honestly, I've looked at hundreds of pictures. Nothing can quite catch it, okay? But I did select one, okay? Because just so you could picture with me. So it looks, just stand with me because it's two long chapters. You can read them at home. I'm not going to read them, okay? But I'm going to describe to you what is in these chapters. So imagine there is God seated on the throne looking like jasper and ruby, precious stones, with a rainbow circulating around the throne. Okay, the rainbow, really, the significance of rainbow is this is covenant with man, okay, and peace. Then there's 24 elders in white also seated on the throne. A lot of commentators say that symbolize all the believers throughout the ages. And there's as well seven lamps, which symbolize the perfect work of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a sea of crystal, who represent the purity of God. And there's flash and lightning coming from the throne, representing His supreme authority, but also His power. And there's four living creatures covered with eyes that continuously worship day and night and night and day. They worship, they represent all the living creatures of earth, and they worship God constantly. And they say, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." And when they say that, the 24 elders, the believers, are answering by laying down their crown. So they lay down their own right, and they fall down, and they worship in front of the throne, and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, because You created all things." And it goes on and on and on. They say, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." And the 24 elders answer, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things." And it goes on and on, 24 hours, 7. You know, when I worship Him, some people complain that I'm repeating a chorus three times. Listen, sometimes we run out of words.
Amen.
But worship is about a posture of the heart.
Mm.
It's about a posture of the heart.
Mm.
I can say absolutely nothing,
Amen.
But my heart is there.
Amen.
Holy, holy is the Lord of mighty words and is to come. You are worthy, O Lord, and God will see glory. And I'm going to say it again. Holy, holy. You know what I'm saying? We run out of words. We can't describe that. Can you describe that? I can't. It's impossible. And then it goes into Revelation 5. And then here in Revelation 5, only the Lamb is found worthy to open the scroll.
Mm.
Well, that means, you know, when the Lamb opened the scroll, it's the beginning of the end of time, and that's where the judgment will happen. But listen, only the Lamb, Jesus only can do that.
Mm.
Not people. Not some kind of, no, only Jesus, the one who sacrificed his life. Only the one is the only one who can judge at the end. At the end, that's at that moment that happens. Okay? And so he's found worthy to open the scroll, the only one in the entire earth and the entire heaven. He is the center of the whole scene. And then it means all sin. Descent a gigantic chorus of even more worship and more creatures
yes.
that start to sing a brand new song in Revelation 5.
Mm-hmm.
And that brand new song goes, you are worthy because you were slain with your blood.
Amen.
You purchased God for God. Persons, listen, you purchased with your blood people from every tribe. Every language, every nation. Yeah? Yeah. I mean, with what's going on today, at the moment, I'm tempted to add, not just white people.
Amen.
Okay? So every tribe, every language, every nation.
Amen.
Yeah? Every nation. Because you have, and it goes on, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth.
Amen.
That's the new song.
Amen.
What a song it is. Let me just try to put here. Oh, went too far. Hopefully it will work. Jimmy, can you put my second slide? Okay, so the Lamb is the one who is worthy by his sacrifice. And he's redeemed people all over the earth,
yes.
of every tongue, nation, tribe, etc.
Yes.
And he says, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. And then at that point, thousands join, and angels join, every creature in heaven and on earth start to worship and give glory and honor to the Lamb that sits on the throne.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine the picture? It's like literally a crescendo, you know, and that's really a crescendo of worship, okay? But going back to what we were talking about, God, you are our one thing we desire, to be in your presence. Okay? I want to pick up on that sentence, we say, we are the priest of the kingdom, called to reign on earth for his glory. Can you see it? So David, as the anointed one, had the privilege to be able to draw near to God, okay? And he had a glimpse of, you know, wow, this is amazing. I can actually see God, gaze on his beauty, okay? But now today, because of his sacrifice, we all get to be called royal priesthood. We are royal priesthood, okay? He has made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God.
Amen.
Okay? So we have 24/7 access to God, and we can boldly approach him. We have received this heart that can be in communion with him. Okay? It's back to the original plan where God created Adam, and it says in the Garden of Eden, God used to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that? God used to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. So we're back to this original plan. We can walk with God, in communion with God.
Mm.
Okay? He's made us to be a kingdom of priests, to serve and reign on this earth. Okay. Now, first of all, it's Him who makes us a kingdom and priests to serve Him and reign on the earth. He is the one who is making the kingdom. That's really important, right? And as well, it's really important as well, I think, to notice that it does not say He made us to be a kingdom and soldiers. He didn't say that. He said He made us a kingdom and priest.
Amen.
He didn't say He made us a kingdom and soldiers. Okay? Because I do agree there's a reconquest of the earth. But the way we're going to reconquest the earth, it's we're not I know we're soldiers in one way, but you know, there's a battle, yes, I understand. But He made us kingdom and priest. It doesn't say there He made us kingdom and soldiers. So He's not expecting us to have a reconquest of the earth by force and guns and weapons. That's what I mean. You get it, yeah? He doesn't say neither He made us kingdom and kings. Okay? So now we have to exert power and control over everybody.
Amen.
He doesn't say that neither. He says He made us kingdom and say it?
Priests.
Okay. So He made us kingdom and priests to serve God, and we will reign on earth. So what do we do as priests who serve God in the kingdom? What do we do? Well, in Peter 2 verse 9 it says, we are royal priesthood, and the purpose is that we may declare the praise of Him who called us out of the darkness in His wonderful light. In His wonderful light. Sorry, I messed that. I'm going to repeat it again. We are royal priesthood that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So the purpose of the royal priesthood is to declare His praise. Is to declare His praise. That's our primary purpose. Okay? So if we look at what is priesthood, even in Old Testament, New Testament, literally priesthood is about we declare the praise of God. We worship Him. We worship Him. That's our first call. Our one thing. We worship Him and we minister to Him. Okay? And we serve Him. And we serve Him. So even when, you know, there's verse would say that we are walking into the good works that He prepared for us in advance. You know that verse, yeah? So basically, then we will serve Him. We will serve Him by doing the good work that He wants us to do. And that's what will glorify Him. Everything is about glorifying and worshipping our King, Jesus. He made us a kingdom of priests. Our first call is therefore our adoration, our devotion to Him, giving Him glory more and more and more in our lives. Okay? And whereas we are doing that, I is with us, He will make a way for us to reign.
Amen.
He will do it. It's His battle. It's His victory.
Amen.
He will be with us.
Amen.
He will open doors.
Mm.
Okay? We will be bold and praising. We will be bold and praising. And He will give us ground.
Mm.
That's how we do it. We are kingdom and priest. Now, one day we will see Him face to face in all His glory. And then we will have the privilege to join with all earth and heaven and say, holy and holy, glory and honor is to You, to the Lamb of God, in a place where there won't be any suffering, in a place where our joy will be complete and perfect. And we will literally worship him forever.
Amen.
We will worship him forever. Isn't he amazing? Isn't he amazing? That is our call. Okay. So I just want to leave you with one question. I think, what is your one thing? If you think 5 minutes and you close your eyes and you're in your heart, let's say, in your life, what is your one thing? What is your one thing? It's a really important question. And we have to be honest. What is your one thing? Is it your spouse? Is it your family? Because all of these are brilliant things, right? But is Jesus our one thing? You know, there's so many passages in the Bible that say, you know, that, well, for a start, we will go back to dust, right? Flower in the field will perish, 1 Peter 1 say. And one day, you know, we will be gone, for sure. But what is your one thing? The thing that will remain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What is the one thing? What is the one thing you invest in your life in? The thing that will stay forever? For eternity. Isn't it incredible? I just want to read again that verse. Wow. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to see him in his temple. Say, Lord, come with your presence. Let us touch your presence. Let us see you, your beauty. In a way that it would be so easy to say, you are worthy of it all.
Mm-hmm.
We see it. We see it. You are worthy of it all.
Yeah.
You're the only thing that satisfies our soul.
Yeah.